Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I've really waited for the weekend. Not like this week has been bad by any means, but why wouldn't I want it to be the weekend? If I had an option of a day, it'd be the weekend. Welcome to Overnight America, the last couple hours until we say, see you later, alligator. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is the number. You can call in and talk about anything you want. These last couple of hours, I don't care what it is. I really don't. You can call in. You can talk about how you slipped and fell in the tub today. We can talk about that. Or if you want to talk about the Democratic debates, that's probably a little bit better of a topic. We can talk about the earthquake. Did anyone feel the earthquake last night in St. Louis? I had no idea. It happened right around the time I was leaving the radio station here. So residents in St. Louis, and this is from Fox 2, happened about 1:42 a.m. I guess I would have been here. I didn't feel it last night. It was centered in north central Arkansas near the Missouri state line, halfway between New Madrid and Springfield. But they say early morning quake had rattled some people here in Metro St. Louis. Some people actually felt it. It was a 3.7 magnitude. Honestly, did anyone feel it last night? I would have been here. We would have been doing the show live. I feel like I'm pretty sensitive to these sort of things. Like, I feel if I were to put my hand on a table, I can tell if there's a vibration somewhere. That's maybe one of my superpowers. I don't have many superpowers, but that's one of them. I feel like I'm sensitive to that thing. But for whatever reason, I didn't feel that one. Did anyone feel, honestly, anyone listening right now feel that minor earthquake? 436-7900. And there's a rare lunar event that's going to be happening here soon. A full moon will reach its peak on Friday the 13th. Ooh, that's later tonight at 11:32 p.m. Only 1% of full moons fall on the Friday the 13th day. Last time there was a full mini moon on Friday the 13th was 1832, and it won't happen again for more than 500 years. That's a long time. So if you're up Friday night at about 11:32 central time here, you'll be able to see this thing. This doesn't appeal to me. I don't think I'm going to stay up to watch it. I'm one of those guys that gets to bed about 9:30, and I like it. My sleep schedule's so weird because of this radio program. It's not like on the days off, I stay up late as if I'm trying to keep the same open times. But no, I go to bed early. One of the greatest things about the weekend is having no responsibility. I like to lay in bed and watch YouTube conspiracy videos. A bunch of things I don't believe in, but man, is it so fun to watch. And there's nothing more relaxing in a nice, comfortable bed. Let's watch some conspiracy theories. I got a whole bunch of stories I want to get to. This one I wanted to talk about yesterday, but we didn't have time. Emotional monkeys. So the fate of three monkeys living in Creve Coeur home will rest in the city's court system. A couple of neighbors complained because a lady has three monkeys on her property. She keeps them untethered, running around her property, and the neighbors are like, come on, man. Come on, man. It would be a different story if they had them contained in the house and no one could really get to them. But she has them running around the property outside untethered. Of course you would be a little weirded out by that. No, I am at least. I wouldn't want one of my neighbors. Like every time I go out with my kid, maybe he's riding his bike and we're walking somewhere, or maybe I'm taking the dog for a walk or anything. I just happen to be out by myself. You know what I don't want to have to do? Walk by the house with the monkeys that are untethered and wondering if they're going to come up and try to interact with me. So all the neighbors apparently are upset about this. The owner of the monkeys is Texan McBride Tehan. Received a citation September 9th for having three monkeys at a home she rents in this subdivision. I guess there's only eight homes in this subdivision. And right now, there's ordinances in place that would prohibit her from having these because they're inherently dangerous, they say. Exotic animals. But she says, no, you got it all wrong. I'm allowed to keep these monkeys because they're emotional support monkeys. I don't know what the regulations are for an emotional support monkey, but would you need three? Like, is there a difference between one and three? Do you get more emotional support if you have three? Like, normally, if you have emotional support dog, you have one dog. Emotional support something, it's one. But three? And if they're emotional support monkeys, then why are they just running crazy on your property? You would think they'd be more constrained to an area where you can control them and they could be close to you. She says, they're not roaming the streets or let out after dark. There has never been an incident, and they've lived here for years. People come to my home to learn about these primates and play with them. Oh, boy. So what, does she have an open window and she yells at the kids? Hey, kids, you're going to come in here and play with my monkeys? Like, well, how does that work? Like, what do you say to them? Also, some residents say that they told her that the monkeys have been untethered in their yard, of course. Says if a monkey bites you, it could be fatal due to hepatitis B carried by some of the animals. Some of the people in that area say, I've been to her house. I'd like to look into this. I'm noncommittal. Ward 2 Councilman A.J. Wang. I'm noncommittal on this, and I'm open to consider all possibilities. No, I don't want the neighbor to have untethered monkeys running around the property, period. I stand with that ordinance. What do you think about that, though? Are you someone that thinks, hey, leave this lady alone? Let her have as many wild monkeys on her property as she wants. And this is Creve Coeur. We're not talking about the middle of nowhere, man. This is inside of a subdivision. And she rents the home. If you own that home and you're renting to that person and you read in the news, hey, wait a minute. Where do all these monkeys come from? Imagine what it's going to be like when you get that house back. When I purchased my first home, the realtor told me, animals don't improve the value of the home. They always devalue the home. I can't imagine three monkeys running wild, what that's going to be like when she hands the keys back to the homeowner and they go in there and, what in the world happened here? All right, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Do you leave the monkey lady alone or do you let her have her support monkeys? Or I guess that's the same thing. Or do you tell her, hey, no, sorry, you got to have them more restricted if they're going to be around, as in not left to run around. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I guess it's better to have a neighbor that has untethered monkeys than this one neighbor in Salem, Missouri. A Dent County man is facing charges after authorities say he attacked his neighbor with an axe. So, according to this probable cause statement, he broke into his neighbor's home, demanded the homeowner to give him his gun, then hit him in the head with the axe, right above the eye and above the ear. Now, I'm going to assume it was on the butt of the axe, not the actual sharpened end, because I think taking that to the face would have been fatal instantly. So, the victim then started to then fight this neighbor off. Because his grandson was there. His grandson was able to escape. They wrestled. He left. Apparently, police found the victim at a Casey's gas station covered in blood. And then they went back and found Wayne Head, 50 years old, at his home. He's been charged with first-degree burglary, assault, attempted assault, armed criminal action, and endangering the welfare of a child. And I'm looking at his mugshot. He looks like someone that would be a dangerous man. Like, there's some... You ever look at someone and you can tell, don't mess with that dude. Something's a little off. Yeah. 436-7900, that's the number, or 800-925-1120. Let me go to Jay in Normandy. What's going on, Jay?
Yeah, hi. I think I would trade the monkeys off for a good golden retriever, collie, Sheltie, Australian Shepherd, something along those lines. I think you'd have a much better pet, and mm-hmm. it could be a companion animal also.
Yeah. I wonder, too, with it untethered in the yard, I just wonder how often these things are running crazy out there. Because it has to drive you crazy. If you're one of the neighbors and you look out and it's just like, you know, monkey jungle and they're going crazy and you're thinking, what's going to happen when I go out there? You know, because it's a wild animal. You don't know how they're going to react.
Right. Yeah. Now, I'm an animal fan. I'm a big fan. We've got to protect animals. But I don't think they need to be probably in that neighborhood setting. So that's my thing. Hey, real quick, let's go to a couple other things. On the on your mug shot of the one guy down in Salem or whatever that was.
Right.
How about the terrible incident in South County where the guy stabs the dog? Have you looked at his mug shot? He looks pretty
non-remorseful.
Sinister too.
Yeah, non-remorseful, and he just also looks like when you know, here's the thing. He says it was self-defense, which I don't believe.
No.
You can look at him, and you can tell he's not someone that was scared of this dog. You know? It's hard to explain. Sometimes you can just tell. Yeah.
Speaking of hard to explain, well, I'll touch on just for a second. I know I've talked about guns before, but all these kids today getting killed by guns. I mean, just mishandling and leaving guns around where they shouldn't be, and all these people that say, "Oh, it's not the gun that kills; it's the person." Well, I don't know how you can almost say that when the kid's 3 years old. It really is the gun that kills when they're 3 years old, I think. And
I see what you're saying, because in the whenever there's an accident involving a firearm not being properly secured, or there's some sort of, you know, they don't know it's arm loaded, or, you know, it's mishandled. It's when a firearm is mishandled. And of course, it's not the 3-year-old's fault that someone left a firearm out where it's accessible to a child who doesn't know how to use it. It's terrible. It's a terrible circumstance, Jay. It is all the way around. Yeah.
Hey, I've got one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Are you up on the Tate LaBianca murders at all? The most sensational murder trial involving Manson and his followers about 3 decades ago. Well, actually 4 or 5 decades ago. Anyway, new book out, and they had it on NPR. The author was on NPR. Mm-hmm. It was rather fascinating. Chaos, I believe, is the name of the book. But it has some new conclusions compared to the reports in the trial of 50 years ago almost.
So are you reading that book now?
No, the author was on just today on one of the NPR programs this afternoon.
Okay, so, I'm looking it up now. So Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. Interesting.
Not normally a conspiracy person, and I don't know if I buy all those angles, but they are saying that there were a lot of reasons why Manson seemed to escape being in jail, that he should have been in jail for 10 or 15 years, and he was out and should not have been.
Really? So tell me what the conspiracy is. It is some sort of the government was allowing him back out?
Maybe that somebody was. Maybe the local LAPD or LA sheriff, or perhaps the government. I hate to use those terms because I don't normally go for the conspiracy stuff, but it sounded interesting. And by the way, there's that great Brad Pitt movie out right now that ties in a little bit. Have you seen it? It's Once Upon a Time in L.A. Oh, have you seen that movie yet?
No, I haven't. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's a good
Hollywood,
one.
In Hollywood, right.
That's the Tarantino film?
Right.
Yeah. I'm scanning through some of the pages of Chaos. They have a couple of sample pages up there.
So wow.
I'll look it up. That's the stuff, I guess I'm not that interested in it. I would watch a video if someone were to put a summary together. I'd watch that, but I don't know if I'd be able to read through this book. I do like a good conspiracy, though.
Yeah, well, a couple of points, and again, I go back in time to that time period. Maybe you don't, but the book by the prosecutor and attorney was the highest rated crime book ever up until a few years ago, and a TV movie about the murders about, I think might have been titled Helter Skelter, was the top rated TV movie of all time until the O.J. Simpson stuff.
Oh, okay.
Happened.
Wow.
So it was a
that?
Big, big deal.
All right. Well, hey, thank
Back
you, Chief. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Right.
Certainly. Bye.
I don't know a lot about Charles Manson. We've talked to, is it Brian Love? Who's from the Beach Boys? And we talked about how Manson recorded with the Beach Boys one time. Just crazy if you think about it. Because they had, it was his brother was living at, I think, his mansion for a while there. Charles Manson was living there. It's just weird altogether. But no, if I get a chance and I see that author comes up and maybe he's doing some interviews, I'll keep an eye out for it. Sometimes the publishers will have these new books that are out there go on to some sort of like radio tour. And they'll call into radio stations. That's how I find a lot of the different authors for this radio program. They'll just send an email out, hey, do you have any interest in this topic? And we'll set you up with the author if you do. And I find I do have a lot of interest in a lot of these books. Let me get to Burton, who's calling in. Hi.
Hi. You know, the guy with the axe and saying, give me your gun. I'd say, well, no, you can't have my gun, but you can have some of the lead from inside of it.
Just about. I don't know what his thoughts were. My thought on that, Burton, is he's got caught up in the whole, like, we got to get guns away from people type of mentality, and he's going to go out there and try to force it away from you. You know, the whole from my cold, dead hands, it kind of puts a new perspective in that because he comes out with an axe trying to do just that.
Well, I mean, the guy's fully entitled to shoot the guy with the axe to death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by law, so in any state.
Well, who knows if, you know, so. But that's the thing. He just comes in demanding this thing, according to this article on KMOV. And who knows if he's in his right mind. He's got that look that it's very possible he's not in his right mind. But you got a kid involved, and could you imagine just hanging out at your house? Grandkids
like,
or whatever
I'm
inside there?
I'm not going to say the word, what they call the guy, but it's like this teenage kid broke into his neighbor's house. He was wielding a knife. And it turns out, and it was a senior citizen. He's like in his 70s or 80s, whatever. So, but he didn't realize the guy was... He was, not even the special forces, but he was like hand-to-hand combat trainer and a boxing champion. And it shows the guy, and he's really beat up. His eyes, you know, and they call him, and I can't say it on there, a piece of S, you know. Mm-hmm. kid, that's what he deserved, you know.
Hmm. I don't mess around with that. If you're inside of your house with your kids or grandkids or whatever, you don't play games. You know, like you're not going to put their life in the other someone's hands. You know.
But you see it, and it's like that's instant karma. You know.
Hmm. All right, thanks, Burton. Good to hear from you.
Sure. You're welcome. All right.
You know, there was the most recent Dave Chappelle special. I saw a lot of people talking about it online, and I checked it out. It is very profane, like a lot of swear words and things. You know, it's dirty or whatnot, and I was kind of surprised by the part where he talks about firearms and how he keeps these shotguns in his home and how he bought a shotgun because he was afraid, you know, someone was going to break into his house and, you know, how he handles himself when someone breaks in. And he talks about it. He's like, you know, it's good. What happens when a crackhead breaks into your house? He does a whole skit on this thing. Dave Chappelle's stand-up special. That's an interesting part. You don't see too many comedians recommending home defense with firearms anymore, right? 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. I guess it's better to have a neighbor that has untethered monkeys than this one neighbor in Salem, Missouri. A Dent County man is facing charges after authorities say he attacked his neighbor with an axe. So, according to this probable cause statement, he broke into his neighbor's home, demanded the homeowner to give him his gun, then hit him in the head with the axe, right above the eye and above the ear. Now, I'm going to assume it was on the butt of the axe, not the actual sharpened end, because I think taking that to the face would have been fatal instantly. So, the victim then started to then fight this neighbor off because his grandson was there. His grandson was able to escape. They wrestled. He left. Apparently, police found the victim at a Casey's gas station covered in blood. And then they went back and found Wayne Head, 50 years old, at his home. He's been charged with first-degree burglary, assault, attempted assault, armed criminal action, and endangering the welfare of a child. And I'm looking at his mugshot. He looks like someone that would be a dangerous man. Like, there's some, You ever look at someone and you can tell, don't mess with that dude. Something's a little off. Yeah. 436-7900 is that's the number, or 800-925-1120. Let me go to Jay in Normandy. What's going on, Jay?
Yeah, hi. I think I would trade the monkeys off for a good golden retriever, collie, Sheltie, Australian Shepherd, something along those lines. I think you'd have a much better pet, and it could be a companion animal also.
Yeah. I wonder, too, with it untethered in the yard, I just wonder how often these things are running crazy out there. Because it has to drive you crazy. If you're one of the neighbors and you look out, and it's just like, you know, monkey jungle, and they're going crazy, and you're thinking, what's going to happen when I go out there? You know, because it's a wild animal. You don't know how they're going to react.
Right. Yeah. Now, I'm an animal fan. I'm a big fan. We've got to protect animals. But I don't think they need to be probably in that neighborhood setting. So
right. That's
my
right.
thing. Hey, real quick, let's go to a couple other things. On the on your mug shot of the one guy down in Salem or whatever that was.
Right.
How about the terrible incident in South County where the guy stabs the dog? Have you looked at his mug shot? He looks pretty
non-remorseful.
Pretty sinister too.
Yeah, non-remorseful, and he just also looks like when you know, here's the thing. He says it was self-defense, which I don't believe.
No.
You can look at him, and you can tell he's not someone that was scared of this dog. You know? It's hard to explain. Sometimes you can just tell. Yeah.
Speaking of hard to explain, well, I'll touch on just for a second. I know I've talked about guns before, man, but all these kids today getting killed by guns, I mean, just mishandling and leaving guns around where they shouldn't be. And all these people that say, oh, it's not the gun that that kills, it's the person. Well, I don't know how you can almost say that when the kid's 3 years old. It really is the gun that kills when they're 3 years old, I think. And
I see what you're saying because in the whenever there's an accident involving a firearm not being properly secured, or there's some sort of, you know, they don't know it's armed, loaded, or, you know, it's mishandled. It's when a firearm is mishandled. And of course, it's not the 3-year-old's fault that someone left a firearm out where it's accessible to a child who doesn't know how to use it. It's terrible. It's a terrible circumstance, Jay. It's all the way around. Yeah.
Hey, I've got one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Are you up on the Tate LaBianca murders at all? The most sensational murder trial involving Manson and his followers about 3 decades ago, well, actually 4 or 5 decades ago. Anyway, new book out, and they had it on NPR. The author was on NPR. It was rather fascinating. Chaos, I believe, is the name of the book, but it has some new conclusions compared to the reports and the trial of 50 years ago almost.
So are you reading that book now?
No, the author was on just today on one of the NPR programs this afternoon.
Okay, so, I'm looking it up now. So Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA in the Secret History of the 60s. Interesting.
I'm not normally a conspiracy person, and I don't know if I buy all those angles, but they are saying that there were a lot of reasons why Manson seemed to escape being in jail, that he should have been in jail for 10 or 15 years, and he was out and should not have been.
Really? So tell me what the conspiracy is. It is some sort of the government was allowing him back out?
Maybe that somebody was. Maybe the local LAPD or LA sheriff, or perhaps the government. I hate to use those terms because that I don't normally go for the conspiracy stuff, but it sounded interesting. And by the way, there's that great Brad Pitt movie out right now that ties in a little bit. Have you seen it? It's Once Upon a Time in L.A. Have you seen that movie yet?
No, I haven't. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's a good
Hollywood.
One.
In Hollywood, right.
That's the Tarantino film?
Right.
Yeah. I'm scanning through some of the pages of Chaos. They have a couple of sample pages up there.
So, oh, wow.
I'll look it up. That's the stuff. I guess I'm not that interested in it. I would watch a video if someone were to put a summary together. I'd watch that, but I don't know if I'd be able to read through this book. I do like a good conspiracy, though.
Yeah, well, a couple of points. And again, I go back in time to that time period. Maybe you don't, but that the book by the prosecutor and attorney was the highest rated crime book ever up until a few years ago, and a TV movie about the murders, might have been titled Helter Skelter, mm-hmm. was the top rated TV movie of all time until the O.J. Simpson stuff.
Oh, okay.
Happened.
Wow.
So it was a big deal.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, Jay. I appreciate that.
Sure. Certainly. Right. Bye.
I don't know a lot about Charles Manson. We've talked to, is it Brian Love? Who's from the Beach Boys? And we talked about how Manson recorded with the Beach Boys one time. Just crazy if you think about it. Because his brother was living at, I think, his mansion for a while there. Charles Manson was living there. It's just weird altogether. But no, if I get a chance and I see that author comes up and maybe he's doing some interviews, I'll keep an eye out for it. Sometimes the publishers will have these new books that are out there go on to some sort of like radio tour, and they'll call into radio stations. That's how I find a lot of the different authors for this radio program. They'll just send an email out, hey, do you have any interest in this topic? And we'll set you up with the author if you do. And I find I do have a lot of interest in a lot of these books. Let me get to Burton, who's calling in. Hi.
Hi, you know, the guy with the axe and saying, give me your gun. I'd say, well, no, you can't have my gun, but you can have some of the lead from inside of it.
Just about. I don't know what his thoughts were. My thought on that, Burton, is he's got caught up in the whole, like, we got to get guns away from people type of mentality, and he's going to go out there and try to force it away from you. You know, the whole from my cold, dead hands, it kind of puts a new perspective in that because he comes out with an axe trying to do just that.
Well, I mean, the guy's fully entitled to shoot the guy with the axe to death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by law, so in any state.
Well, who knows if, you know, so. But that's the thing. He just comes in demanding this thing, according to this article on KMOV, and who knows if he's in his right mind. He's got that look that it's very possible he's not in his right mind, but you got a kid involved, and could you imagine just hanging out at your house, grandkids
like,
or whatever
I'm
inside there, and that happens?
I'm not going to say the word, what they call the guy, but it's like this teenage kid broke into his neighbor's house. He was wielding a knife, and it turns out, and there was a senior citizen who's like in his 70s or 80s, whatever. So, but he didn't realize the guy was not even special forces, but he was like hand-to-hand combat trainer and a boxing champion. And it shows the guy, and he's really beat up his eyes, you know. And they call him, and I can't say it on there, a piece of S, you know. Mm-hmm. kid, that's what he deserved, you know.
I don't mess around with that. If you're inside of your house with your kids or grandkids or whatever, you don't play games, you know. You're not going to put their life in the other someone's hands, you know.
But you see it, and it's like, you know, that's instant karma, you know.
Hmm. All right, thanks, Burton. Good to hear from you.
Sure. All right.
You know, there was the most recent Dave Chappelle special. I saw a lot of people talking about it online, and I checked it out. It is very profane, like a lot of swear words and things. You know, it's dirty or whatnot. And I was kind of surprised by the part where he talks about firearms and how he keeps these shotguns in his home and how he bought a shotgun because he was afraid, you know, someone was going to break into his house, and, you know, how he handles himself when someone breaks in. And he talks about it. He's like, you know, it's good. What happens when a crackhead breaks into your house? He does a whole skit on this thing. Dave Chappelle's stand-up special. That's an interesting part. You don't see too many comedians recommending home defense with firearms anymore, right? 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Seems like all the networks have already moved past the Democratic debates. They talked to all the candidates that would talk to them. Weird to look up and see Bernie Sanders on Fox News. You're not used to seeing something like that. So how did the candidates do? We'll talk to Rich Rubino next hour about that. Joining us now, is Kristen Arnold, panel moderator based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Kristen, thank you so much for coming back on.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always nice to see you, Ryan.
Interesting night with the debates here. What I thought a few of the interesting moments with the moderators and the candidates was at the very end when the candidates just kept going way over their time, and it got to the point where Joe Biden said, everyone else did double time, I'm doing it too. So he's correcting the moderators. That's got to drive moderators crazy when the candidates do things like that.
Well, you know, the moderators weren't really policing the time very well. If you take a look at the average response time, nobody, even their average, wasn't at 75 seconds.
Mm. Well, who had the most time tonight, really? If you were to look back and try to figure out who had the most time on camera, is there anyone that stands out?
Oh, yeah, Biden had the most.
By far?
Yeah, 17 minutes and 17. I have 17 minutes and 28 seconds. Mm-hmm. Next one came in was Elizabeth Warren. I mean, this is no surprise because they're in the middle, and of course they're going to get more airtime. Bernie Sanders comes in, and next is Kamala Harris. And then after that, well, Cory Booker actually got more time than Bernie did, interestingly enough.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Cory Booker got a pretty good amount of time.
I felt like they would go into sections, so they would let a lot of the candidates go for a while, and then they would change topics, and then they would spend a lot of time with other candidates. They didn't really let all the candidates bring up that one topic. They kind of would try to spread it around a little bit. And through those 3 hours, in general, if you were to look at the way ABC handled things and the moderators, that George Stephanopoulos, David Murr, Lindsay Davis, and then from Univision, Jorge Ramos, how do you think they did in general?
Well, in general, I think that they spread it out better than other moderators did. But, you know, Ryan, was this really a debate?
I don't think it was.
No.
There wasn't much of a debate.
It really wasn't. There was a bunch of questions. Now, when you ask a question, like the first question that started the healthcare debate, it invoked Warren and Sanders. Mm-hmm. So you have to give them rebut time. And so the healthcare piece, I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be kind of an interesting one. And we got into a little bit of a sparring match between Castro and Biden. And, you know, it was like, ooh, and nobody's pulling these guys back at all. One of the questions was supposed to go to Andrew Yang, and Buttigieg, you know, jumps in. And I'm like, well, nobody's pulling him back. The question was supposed to be going to Yang. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, this is going to be a really fascinating debate. But then everybody kind of fell in line.
Mm.
It was really, really strange. Because then we started talking about, it went over to Lindsay, and her topic was racism. And it was like, one question went to O'Rourke, and then another question went to Booker, and then another question went to Buttigieg, and then another question went to Harris, and then the next question went to Klobuchar. And there's, like, no rebut in there. Oh, excuse me, Castro rebutted O'Rourke.
Okay. Yeah, but, and what was like, interesting,
so,
too, about
the
that?
The candidates were raising their hands to, like, say something, mm-hmm. to respond, and the moderators were not choosing to do that for most of the questions.
Kristen Arnold joining us, and we just got the feedback now of the third Democratic primary presidential debate. I don't know what the official title would be, but either way, the candidates that were on stage here tonight. Third round, yeah. This one down in Texas. You know what's interesting, too? You mentioned Lindsay Davis and the way that she would ask some of these questions. And it seemed weird to me that you had a whole section of time dedicated to things like reparations and criminal reform. And then all the candidates seemed to say something. And then like an hour later, she comes back to it well after the topic and asks Joe Biden specifically about it. And I thought that was kind of weird. Would you normally ask a question that's already been covered well after it's covered? Is that typical in a debate?
It kind of screws up the flow a little bit. I thought that was a little strange too, but you know, I was trying to figure out if she was connecting the dots to something earlier, mm-hmm. but this was such a scripted debate. You know, if you think about it, because there wasn't a whole lot of yin and yang back and forth, it really wasn't a debate. you know, the moderators were kind of going through their questions, and I think maybe she might have forgotten that one and really wanted to, you know, stick it to him or something.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
it seemed like it.
But you know, these questions, some of them flowed better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't use the questions to create a debate. It was more like, okay, I'm going to ask you a really interesting question, and then you need to answer it, and then I'm not going to let anybody else pile on, which is what they typically do.
Yeah. You know what was interesting, too, was the very end when there were protesters, and it seems like pretty much every debate from here on
everyone
out.
Everyone has had one.
They're going to have protesters. Is that just a new thing in debates anymore? Do you just have to account that there's going to be someone standing up and shouting at some point?
Well, it does seem to be a trend. I hearken that back to kind of like the Academy Awards. You remember how the Academy Awards were never about political statements or anything? And mm-hmm. then suddenly it became, fashion, courant. Maybe this is like the newest flash mob or something. You know, hey, let's go have a political outcry at the debate.
The flash mob. Who had the least amount of time on camera tonight?
Oh, come on. You know who that is.
Amy Klobuchar, I'm going to guess.
Actually, no.
Oh, okay. Who was it?
No, it was.
Let's see, you're calculating the crunch of the numbers.
No. I'm looking at it because it's a long list. Yeah. Andrew Yang.
Oh, really?
Which is what I thought, but I just wanted to make sure before I actually stuffed my foot in my mouth.
I got to say,
Andrew had like.
Andrew, to me, seemed like he made the most out of his time then. There's a couple of moments where he stepped in. So they had these little spouts between Julian Castro and Joe Biden, and there was that moment where he was confronting each other, and it was getting a little bit heated. And then Andrew Yang came in immediately after and said, basically corrects Castro and says, that's not the proper procedure. You know, that's not how we do things here on the Democratic stage. And that seemed to get more composure. He was like a friend to the moderators. He helped them when they should have stepped in and stopped something like that.
You know, actually, that was Buttigieg.
Which one that stepped in?
Yeah, because I was just looking at my notes in preparation for this lovely call, mm-hmm. and the moderators, Stephanopoulos said, I want to, since this is the number one most important factor issue, health care, we still need to hear from the other candidates. So mm-hmm. he went to Castro, and Castro launched his little bomb, mm-hmm. and then Buttigieg said, and this is why, what did he say? I just wrote it down. He said, this is why presidential debates are becoming unwatchable. This
right.
reminds everybody of what they can't stand about Washington. And then Klobuchar hops on that one. And then Castro comes back and he goes, yeah, that's what the Democratic Party election is, Pete. It's called an election.
Yeah.
It's an election, you know.
Castro gets
and
right back.
And then, you're right. Then at that point, Yang comes back and he goes, okay, let me answer the question. Because mm-hmm. the Stephanopoulos goes, and Mr. Yang?
So, Mr. Yang. Do you have...
He finally gets in. The moderators actually moderated a lot of control, mm-hmm. but at the beginning, not a whole lot of control.
You know, I was thinking,
then towards the end, mm-hmm. it was like, just take as much time as you want to talk because yeah. nobody's paying attention to the lights.
You know, I was thinking back to the previous debates and the way that it was structured from MSNBC, for example. So they had different news crews that would step in mm-hmm. and then they would almost like tag team it. So here's the desk from MSNBC. Here's the desk from NBC. And they kind of went back and they had each of those different individual networks have their own time on that. I thought that was a good way that they were able to mix up some of the moderator personalities and handle a topic like that. ABC doing, you know, the same ones for 3 hours. I wanted to get your thoughts on the way like MSNBC handled it versus ABC, and if you have a preference between the two.
Well, I think 3 hours was just way too long. I don't know about you, but I needed to take a break after about 2 hours.
Like, it was long.
You know,
yeah.
Sorry. It was too long. I think MSNBC, the It seems snappier. Mm-hmm. And here's the challenge. You give them a little bit more time, and they're going to take more time.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody's comments were longer now, and they were still saying the same thing in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
So I think we as listeners, this is just my personal opinion. I'd love to know what your opinion is, Ryan. I just started getting tired. And it could be because I've been listening to this stuff too much or something, but I think people want to see a debate in a debate versus just the answer. Like, we've been hearing the answers. If you listen to a town hall, you've already heard these answers. These are the answers from their stump speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something illuminating? I thought the way they answered the final question about resilience was an interesting, because I don't think they were prepped on that. I think they knew that they were going to get something.
Yeah.
So they took the question and then molded it into what they wanted it to be. So some people actually answered the question honestly and authentically, and other people, I just kind of went, really?
Yeah.
That would be your biggest setback in your life? Really?
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, you always look at these things and you could break them down. You do an excellent job. If people wanted to check out the things that you're doing, what website should they go to?
They would go to rulesanalyst.com.
Rulesanalyst.com.
Just like you have a football rules analyst who watches the officials on the field, that's what I'm doing in the debate.
Kristen Arnold, I'm so glad you joined us here after the presidential debates. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Have a great evening.
She joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line on Overnight America.
You know how important your nutrition is to your overall health, but getting everything your body needs from your regular diet alone is a major challenge. So, give your body extra help with NeoVitan Multivitamins. NeoVitan Multivitamins are formulated to help fill the nutritional gaps you have in your daily diet with over 20 different ingredients, including a physician-formulated proprietary blend. Unlike other multivitamins, NeoVitan gives added support with a four-ingredient proprietary blend developed by the founder of NeoVitan, Dr. Rabicki. With B vitamins to support energy, vitamins A and C for immune support, vitamin D for bone health, NeoVitan helps promote your overall well-being. Support your daily nutrition with NeoVitan Multivitamins, available at Medicap Pharmacy, Granite City, Comprehensive Care Pharmacy, Breeze, Healthcare Pharmacy, Perryville, Medicine Shop, Lake St. Louis, Medicine Shop, Overland. NeoVitan.
In the great Forest Park balloon race right around the corner, and we have the scoop on it yet again with details at KMOX.com. You can get the best seats in Central Field. Elevate your experience. Get that VIP experience that has private bathrooms. It's worth it just for that. Details again, KMOX.com.
Come this weekend to the Highland Fling at the St. Louis Renaissance Festival. Test your strength in the Highland Games. See the all-new glass blowing, bird show, and aerial act. Also, armored jousting and battle axe throwing. Weekends through October 14th at the St. Louis Renaissance Festival in Wentzville. Go to stlrenfest.com.
Hey, Zach. Wanted to let you know your sister called about getting a new system. Who do you want to send for the install?
Whoever she gets scheduled for.
You don't have a preference? That's either impressive or some kind of twisted sibling rivalry.
Sarah, there's nobody Academy Air ever sends out for installs who I wouldn't have installed for my own grandma.
So will you make sure she gets a system with a spine fin coil?
I'm sure the tech explained all her options and she chose what was best for her. Our techs always keep the client in control.
You mean you're not going to double check?
Nope.
Not gonna call her to do a little brotherly persuading?
She's a big girl.
Really?
All right. Here. See?
Well, I see it's an American standard, so that means spine thin, right?
Yes, and she also chose a variable speed compressor and an ECM blower motor.
She did get a great system.
She got the right system because she chose the right AC company.
Online at academyair.com.
Hey, Debbie Monterey here. If you're planning to sell your home, you want to work with the very best, right? Because agent selection really does matter. That's why I recommend you call Gloria Liu, St. Louis's real estate authority with GL International Realty at Coldwell Banker Premier Group. Now, Gloria Liu will help you get the most money for your home. That's because Gloria already has the buyers and creates demand and multiple offers, just like she did for Barry and Martina in Baldwin, selling their home even before it hit the MLS. And the Donaldsons, they were thrilled because they had their home previously listed with another agent and it didn't sell. With Gloria Liu, your home may already be sold through Gloria's Home Buyers in Waiting program. And if Gloria can't sell your home at your agreed to price, she will buy it herself, guaranteed, in writing. Call St. Louis's real estate authority, Gloria Liu, at 314-325-6888, 314-325-6888, online at GloriaHasTheBuyers.com.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KMOX is a proud sponsor of the Great Forest Park Balloon Race, presented by PNC Bank. Festivities begin 5 p.m. Friday, September 20th for the Balloon Glow, and at noon on race day, September 21st. Feast your eyes on nearly 70 hot air balloons at the newly renovated Central Fields in Forest Park, surrounded by family-friendly activities and entertainment at the Maryville University main stage. The Glow and Race are free to attend, but upgrade your experience with VIP tickets. For event info and tickets, click KMOX.com.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
So is dealing with phobias the thing that everyone's talking about recently? Like, I'm watching Inside Edition on one of our TVs we got here, and it's helping people deal with the phobia of driving through tunnels. And then on top of that, you find out that there's a story that CBS is running. You heard it at the top of the hour, just here at midnight. People have a phobia of tiny holes, and the new Apple phones are scaring, or at least, well, since they're not technically released, the idea of a phone with more holes is scaring some people and turning them off to the Apple iPhone. What? It's kind of a weird thing, right? So we have to be sensitive. So people with the phobia of small holes, and the idea of this is that the new Apple iPhone has three cameras. So there's three cameras on the phone. So three holes for the three cameras or whatever. And because of that, now we have to be sensitive to the people that have that weird offset phobia, and it's a national story. I don't get it. So we're just looking at any small, minuscule phobia we can find and find a way to make it a problem for anyone that is insensitive to it. I mean, have we found enough things to be insensitive about? We have to reach out and now do small phobias. Okay. During the presidential Democratic primary debate, which was tonight in Houston, there's a couple of moments here, and we're going to talk to our friend Rich Rubino about that at the start of next hour. You know, there was one moment, I swear, that Kamala Harris was drunk.
Well, I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can, because I'll tell you something. The way that I think about this is...
I'll tell you something. That sounds like when you're having a family gathering and your one aunt who cracked open one a little too early, shows up, and I'm going to tell you something. That's what it sounds like. I wonder what her breath smelled like there.
The way that I think about this...
We got a constitution.
And yes, we can, because I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you something. That's her. Okay, there's a lot of people online that agree with me. I think they're all wondering the same thing. She's not like that all the time. It's a little bit weird, right? Maybe she was just waiting too long and started to fall asleep, doze off. Cory Booker had maybe the funniest moment of the night. I'll give him credit for this because you have the Jorge Ramos from Univision was there. incredibly biased, super biased. I don't know why they keep inviting this guy. He's not at the same level as the other moderators who at least tried to keep it professional. But Jorge Ramos goes out there and listen to how he asks this question to the candidate.
8 out of 10 Latinos in Texas fear another mass shooting targeting them. This is according to a new Univision poll. President Trump has called Mexican immigrants rapists and killers, tried to ban Muslims from entering the country, and separated children from their parents. His supporters have chanted, build the wall and send her back. Do you think that people who support President Trump and his immigration policies are racist?
Okay. That's Jorge Ramos going in there with the totally biased, inaccurate question. You know, it's funny. You can set anything up that way. And we're talking about an ABC presidential debate that's going on here. And they wonder why people look at this and wonder why they question the biases and the motives of the people that are reporting the news. When you're supposed to have an actual debate and it turns into this, well, no, this is not really a debate on the issues. It's more of a, let's see if we can get the talking points out there. And yes, the moderators are in on it too. Remember how much of a problem people had when we found out that CNN was leaking the questions to Hillary Clinton ahead of time? That was a pretty big deal. It talked to talked about CNN and their integrity when it came to the process of these debates. I don't think there's any integrity left that you saw when you put Jorge Ramos in with one of those. You lose all credibility. What's another moment? I got a couple of them here. Here's another Joe Biden clip. I think you'll appreciate this because he mentions the radio.
Teachers are recalling. I'm married to a teacher. My deceased wife is a teacher. They have every problem coming to them. We have to make sure that every single child does, in fact, have 3, 4, and 5-year-olds go to school, not daycare, school. We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
You turn on the radio. That's all I needed to hear.
Play the radio.
Play the radio. That is Joe Biden's advice to Overnight America. Anyone that's on the fence, take it from Joe Biden.
Play the radio.
Play the radio.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on.
Make sure you have the record player on. I don't mind those type of gaffes myself. Actually, I think it's a harmless type of gaffe, but turn on the record player. It's a whole different generation. I understand when you're as old as Joe Biden, you may think of that before the iPad or the iPod or the computer or the Pandora or whatever, Spotify. Get some spoken word into those kids' brains. It's a good idea. All right. Our friend Rich Rubino, we're going to break down the performances of the candidates next.